Orville Freestone Jr. Sunday School, February 24th, 2013.
Well, rather than continuing in our study in Acts this morning, let's turn to the 17th chapter of John and Jesus' prayer. And what I want to emphasize this morning in this is Jesus prayed for you. You weren't here when he gave this prayer, but it was for you as much as for the disciples that were around him at that time. So there is merit just in the reading of the word. So let's read through this chapter, and then I'll come back to the points of his prayer that apply to us. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. This was the Jewish way of showing reverence. We close our eyes and bow our heads, but their method of prayer was to look up to heaven with their eyes open. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come." Throughout his ministry in the Gospels, many times he said, "Mine hour is not yet come." But now he said, "The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee." And we see what to the world is a strange twist and one of the misunderstandings of the gospel by the pagans in that day. God glorified his Son on the cross. There is a graffito in Italy of a man crucified, and the head of that man has the head of a donkey. And below it is the inscription, "Julius worships his God." And that is the way the world looked upon the crucifixion. And that is why what Paul meant when he said, "The preaching of the cross is foolishness." But here he says, "Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." And the cross truly did come to represent the glory of God in Jesus Christ and is as in salvation. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." The word power here means authority. He has the authority to determine who receives eternal life. But yet, with this authority, he freely offers it to all who will receive it. "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." He said that he had manifested the name of God unto the men, that is, the disciples that followed him. He manifested the name by himself in his life, demonstrating the meaning of that holy name of God. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have surely, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Here he's speaking of his apostles and of his disciples that have followed him through all of his ministry to this time. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. That is a very profound statement, that the Lord Jesus is glorified in you, in your life. That is the way the world comes to know God. That is the way that the gospel is spread. But that he should be glorified in you is a profound statement. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Now he was on earth, but he was no longer in the world. For the world does not mean this spinning planet. The world means the social structure of human life. And he was no longer in the world. He came into the world, and he ministered unto those in the world. But he says, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. We live in human society that is sinful and corrupt, but we live here to manifest the glory of God in Jesus in our lives that we live. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So we are in the world, but we are not of the world. That is of that society that does not belong to him. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. This is how we know that he was praying for us too. He was praying for all of those who belong to him throughout this entire time of the earth, on earth, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This was his prayer with his disciples as he went off to Gethsemane. And in verse 20, we see that he also prayed for us. Now, he made several specific petitions concerning his disciples and with us. They are seven different things that he prayed for us. The first one is, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. This word keep is a word that the word in English keep has many different meanings, but the basic meaning of this word that we read here in the original was to guard, to secure, and to even means to treasure. So he prayed that God would secure through his own name those whom he has given to Christ. This is perhaps one of the strongest statements of the security of those who belong to Jesus. He prayed that God would secure them, and he prayed that God would secure them in his name. Throughout the Old Testament, the name of God was deemed so very holy, and the consequences of taking his name lightly so severe that after the captivity of the Jews, and they no longer spoke the old Hebrew, they refused to pronounce the name of God, lest they be taking it lightly or taking it in vain. But they used the phrase "the name" to refer to that name of God. Archaeology has recently uncovered many clay seals in the Holy Land. These clay seals were little lumps of clay that were placed upon a letter, a scroll, or an object. And then they were stamped with the signet of the person who was sealing whatever it was. This is true of these seven seals in the book of Revelation 2. And recently there have been many arguments by those who were unbelievers over the years, who were archaeologists and who were great thinkers and philosophers, that the things in the Bible just didn't square with history. But recently they've uncovered many thousands of these clay seals. And one of the things that they have noticed is that in the Hebrew letters, they say belonging to, and then the name of the person who was sealing it. And they found several seals belonging to and the various kings of Israel, establishing the history of the Old Testament secularly through archaeology that we find in the Bible. And in the book of Revelation, that scroll is sealed with seven seals. Who was worthy to break those seals? Only those to whom it was sent. So we see that they were sealed by God, and only the Lamb could break those seals. So here, the name of God is on this seal that he is praying here. Holy Father, keep or secure through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. The seal of the name of God is upon every believer in Jesus Christ. And that is one of the strongest statements that I've found for the security of the believer in Christ. And the second petition is that they may be one as we are one. After the Reformation in the 1500s, various groups broke away from the Catholic Church in the West and formed different groups, some of them national groups, some of them independent groups. And they were sometimes as much at enmity with each other as with the Catholic Church. And it was John Wesley who first said, "I love all Christians of whatever denomination." And that is the original origin of that word, denomination, as applied to Christian groups. And it came to be commonly thought that the Christian church was greatly divided. Well, wherever you have any number of people, they're going to be divided by differences of opinion. And in 1800, there began a movement to bring all the denominations together. And in the 20th century, it ended up in the National Council of Churches. It was their responsibility to bring all the denominations together. And the only way you can do that is by continually diluting your beliefs that are different from other groups, until finally declaring that we're all one. As one church says, the only doctrine we have is that we have no doctrine. And this obviously is not what Jesus had in mind. There is great contention today about divisions of the church, and we need to get together in one. But here we see that he prayed that we may be one, even as he and the Father are one. Now, there is no sort of collectivism in the Godhead. They are not three different in the sense of the churches being different churches. They are one. They are one in essence. They are one in spirit. And that is his prayer for his followers, that they be one in spirit and one in essence. And we are. In spite of all of the external divisions, in spite of all of the disputes over doctrine, believers are one in Christ in answer to his prayer. Have you ever been far away from home and meet someone else whom you just knew was a Christian. And it turned out that was so. That is an expression of the unity of faith in Christ. And it is in response to his prayer here, that they may be one as we are one. The third petition is in the 13th verse. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. God did not intend for Christians to be downcast. He did not intend for Christians to have a grumpy disposition. I'm not now referring to off days or anything like that. We all of us get into times of depression. But he intended for the gospel to make us joyful. And joyful is not always followed by being happy. Being happy depends on the hap of the moment, on circumstances. Joy comes from that which is certain, that which is true, that which a relationship. God intended for Christians to be joyful. And indeed, in the Old Testament and in the New, we are commanded to rejoice. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Rejoice evermore." This is God's prayer for you and me, that we be always joyful. And the fourth petition that he prayed for us was, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. Now, Christians oftentimes get a backwards view of what the Christian life is. Years ago, one brother came into the church and didn't look like he was in a good mood. And I said, "Well, how are you?" You know, some people don't know that "how are you" is not a question. And he said, "Oh, the devil's just been kicking me around all week long." And I said, "Bless God." He looked up at me startled, and I says, "That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do." And Jesus prayed that he would keep us from the evil one. The devil has no claim on any Christian. No Christian has to be tormented by the devil. Jesus prayed that he would keep us from the power of the evil one, that he would secure us from the power of the evil one. And that is why anything that happens to us, we can take from the hands of our Father. That which you could not take from the devil, that which you could not accept from another Christian, that which you could not accept as a circumstance of life, you can accept as from your Heavenly Father. That he would keep us from the evil one. And the fifth petition that he prayed for us was, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. Keep them apart from the world. Keep them apart from everything defiling. And that is only through truth, as it is in the Word of God. If you look at throughout all of church history, the times when the society had been evil and immoral, is when the Word of God has either been unavailable, as in the Middle Ages, or has been ignored, as by many in our own country. It is through the Word of God that our lives are sanctified. It is through the Word of God that our congregations are sanctified. It is through the Word of God that even the culture of our time is sanctified. It is not that our society is unaware of the Word of God. Listening to the news recently, I've heard the word apocalypse, and I've heard the phrase the horsemen of the apocalypse mentioned a number of times on the news, on television. It's not that our society is unaware of the Word of God, but that the Word of God has not sanctified them. And it is only the Word of God that can bring about any betterment of our lives or of our society. And the sixth petition that he prayed was, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." You have believed on God, on the Lord Jesus, through the word of those whom he commissioned. This New Testament was written for the purpose of our having the Word of God. And it was preserved for us over the centuries. It is through the Word that was proclaimed and recorded for us. And the seventh petition that he prayed was, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." And this has not yet been fulfilled, because he referred here to our being with him where he was going, and that is in our future home, in those mansions that he mentioned in the 14th chapter. So this secures our future. He prayed for the future of all believers. These seven petitions Jesus prayed for us. Do you believe his prayer is being answered? Do you believe his prayer will be answered?